Morning. Today's daf in the book is Nun Zion. We're Nun Vav Amud Beis. These are short dapim. As you'll see, Tosfos has lengthy discussions in terms of the halacha. We're in the middle of a discussion of Yai Nesech, coming off of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, located on Nun Hamad Aleph, begins the last section of the Masechta, in which we're discussing the halachas of Yai Nesech. Yai Nesech together coupled with Sam Yena. So back then, it was a common practice amongst the idolaters that they would use their wine as a libation for Avodah Zarah. And as a result of that, the Chachamim made a gzera that when we buy wine from them, first we can't buy wine from them. And if we get wine from them, so the wine is going to be us. It's going to be us. No, you can't drink it and you can't get benefit from it. In other words, now that it is considered Takrovas Avodah Zarah, it's offered to the Avodah Zarah. So we know Takrovas Avodah Zarah, much like the Avodah Zarah itself, is Aser Behana. You're not allowed to get benefit from it. So that is the last section that we're going to be dealing with in this Masechta. It began in Nun Hamad Aleph, and we are now in day three of the discussion, and that is a continuation of the Gemara's description of this particular Gezerah. We talked yesterday, and we're just going to go take one short step backwards. We're going to go back to the story of the how Yunuka, there was this child. Right in the middle of Nun Vav Amud Beis, there was a child, the Tana Avodas Kocham V'Sheshani. So he was a young man, and he learned Masechta Avodah Zarah, and he mastered it by age six. So it's fair to say that the child was precocious, and Bominei. And so now they're asking the child some questions regarding the Masechta. Mal V'Jochem Ovi Kocham V'Gas. So, can a Jew hire himself out to trample on the grapes together with a non-Jew in the Gas? Gas is the upper section of the vat. It's the part where you're just simply extracting the juice from the grape. So, but it didn't go yet into the pit. So the child answers the question. And really what the child does is he quotes the Mishnah, meaning he knows the Mishnah. The Mishnah says back on an Hamad Aleph that one is allowed to step on the grapes together with the vat. Now just a quick reminder to all of us, why would it be okay? Because the Mishnah is of the opinion that the wine does not have the halakhic status of wine until it falls into the pit. Ajere labor. That was the language of the Mishnah. And so that means to say that at the point of extraction, when the juice is getting extracted from the grapes, and moreover, even though there was meshicha, even though there was a flowing of the wine into the pit, but it doesn't get the status of wine, and therefore it doesn't have the status of yayin esach until it actually goes into the pit. Therefore, it would be okay to hire yourself out for the purposes of dricha. Now remember, it was also the wine of a non-Jew, so there was no issue of gram tuma. In other words, because it was already tamed by the guy, there's no issue of misayeya de over avera. Again, these are all the topics that we covered yesterday. So it was fine. That's the child's answer, and he's correct. So follow. That was according to Mishnah Rishona. Okay, but I don't know if the child's paskening. He's saying over a Mishnah. The child is saying the Mishnah, and he's saying it correctly. So the hakem nasach v'yadei. So the Gemara says, okay, now, but in other words, during the treading on the grape juice, can it not be the case where the guy is just simply going to bend down with his hands and do nisuch with his hands? Meaning, as we're going to be discussing over the course of today's daf, nisuch is a very simple process in which you just simply take your hand and you put it into the wine and you agitate. The Gemara, well, it's not going to be the Gemara, but I'll show you Rashi a little bit later on this morning, where Rashi describes it as a shichshuch, meaning it's just simply an agitation of the wine. And if nisuch only requires this small procedure of agitation, so why aren't we concerned that the non-Jew, while trampling on the grapes, the grape juice, even the gas, is going to be doing shichshuch over there? So the child's answer now, it's interesting, right? Right. I hear that. Okay, the child's gonna give another answer. So did Sarina Lahuliade. So the child's answer is that the hands of the non-Jews tied up. Now this requires a little bit of ingenuity on the child, meaning this is not in the Mishnah. So now the child has to actually think. At 6 years of age, gonna be honest, all this is really impressive. So the Hakim Nasich Beregel, so the Gemara says, okay, but isn't he doing agitation with his feet? So Nisuch the Regel Oshme Nisuch. So the Gemara says the child answer is, okay, but that's not considered Nisuch, that's not considered a form of nisuch, just because he has his feet in the wine, and so therefore the child's response is basically, now that the hands are tied and nisuch cannot be performed with one's foot, so therefore it would be fine. Okay, Adkan, that takes us, again, I know we did that yesterday, but that's the story, and the reason why I backed up to that story is because it really flows into the next story. Hahu Uvda. You're going to hear that a lot over the course of these dapim, meaning the Gemara is going to tell us the halachas, but more anecdotally, meaning we're going to see a story and the Gemara is going to analyze the story. And so when it comes to these sugyas in Avodah Zarah, so a lot of it is going to be based on our various episodes. How uvda dahava ben Arda, there was an incident in Arda, the dashi yisrova v'kocham lahu chamra. So there was a Jew and non-Jew together who were stepping on the grapes in order to produce the wine. And now the question was, is it mutter or is it aser? Now, the if you take a look at the bottom Tosfos on the Amud, Omri, the lo hava mamish dum yadu uvda deyanuka. So in other words, you put these two stories side by side, which we just did, and it sounds really similar. In other words, basically, I have an issue of a Jew and a non-Jew trampling on wine together, right? And it's the same question, right? So Tosfos says, not exactly. So Tosfos says, lo hava mamish dum yadu uvda deyanuka, da yanuka la vishakel vitari ela lemishra le bahana. So as far as the story, the first story, meaning the child and the six-year-old who mastered the Masechta, so they were asking the question where the entire production belonged to the non-Jew. Remember, what the child was quoting was our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was a question of, it's his vat, it's his wine, it's just a question of you being hired out. And the question now becomes, well, if it's Yai Nesach already in the upper vat, in the gas, so you can't hire yourself out because you're not allowed to get hana from Stam Yenim, from Yai Nesach. So that was the question over there, and the answer was, no, it's not wine until it goes into the pit. But in other words, Tosfos points out, that's talking about where the wine belonged to the non-Jew. Here, on the other hand, Now, in our discussion over here, the wine belonged to the Jew. The wine belonged to the Jew. Now we have the non-Jew's foot touching the wine, and now the question becomes, can we drink it? So it's a similar question, but it's not the same. And it's just a question now of the nisach being done with one's foot and not being done with one's hand. So basically what Tosfos is introducing us to over here is a really important distinction in our discussion of Yai Nesach. Meaning, Yai Nesach, there's Yai Nesach from really two aspects. One Yai Nesach is where the wine is owned by the non-Jew. When the wine is owned by the non-Jew, so once it's wine, so it's Yai Nesach. Meaning, and Yai Nesach meaning Asa B'shtiyah, Asa B'hana, you can't drink it, you can't get benefit from it, that's one. Two is where the wine belongs to us, and now comes along the non-Jew and he touches it. And this is what now, it's like the next chapter, so to say, in the Gzera de Rabbanan of Yai Nesach, and that is Magas Ovikochavim. What if a non-Jew touches our wine? And this, says Tosfos, is really the question that this is a second story, and even though it's similar to the first story, only the similarity, the point of similarity is just simply the touching was done with one's foot, not with one's hand. Okay. With that in mind, so now let's follow along as we go through this portion of the Gemara, and really, but just keep in mind, really this is an issue of maga. It's an issue of a non-Jew touching the wine of a Jew. So, now Shmuel didn't give a psak right away. Wasn't sure. And as we'll see in a moment, he had a lot going through his head. It's not that he didn't know, it's just he knew too much information. which we're gonna unravel in just a moment. And so Shmuel wanted to know who to paskin like, and as we're gonna see in just a moment, there are three options of who to paskin like. And so he didn't know, and three yuntifs come and go. Three yuntifs? Why three yuntifs? Rashi points out on the very bottom of the Amud, Shayim is kapsim l'shmo drasha aluchas pesach b'pesach, hilchas atzeres b'atzeres v'ilchas chag b'chag, because on yuntif, basically it was a convention. Yuntif turned into a rabbinic convention. Everyone comes, everyone hears the drasha, and so it's an appropriate time for these matters to get discussed. And so hopefully he's hoping that in one of these rabbinic conventions, otherwise known as Yontif, so somebody can help him out. My time, and the Gemara now looks to understand this a little bit better. Because there are now, as we're about to see, three opinions on the matter. What will be the result when a non-Jew touches the wine of a Jew? So as we're seeing right now, is that first introduce ourselves to the opinion of Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Nassim's of the opinion that if a non-Jew touches wine of a Jew, it's not only aser b'shtiyah, it's also bahana as well. Look at the top Rashi in the Amud, Nun Zayinim and Aleph. Yain bahana b'magashol v'kochavim, afa pishalo nischu l'avod es kochavim, denisach l'ahavi aser bahana ela yidei shichshach. So Rashi says over here, even though it was touched by a non-Jew, and only touched by a non-Jew, meaning just contact, physical contact, afa pishalo nischu l'avod es kochavim, and you know that Nisuch wasn't performed. And how do I know that Nisuch wasn't performed? Because Rashi says that Nisuch is shichshach, it's agitation. So in other words, all the guy did was basically just put his hand in, and Rabbi Nassim's of the opinion that even though we know that shichshach was not done, and even though we know it was not Nisuch, but still, according to Rabbi Nassim, this is still part and parcel of the gzerah, and the wine, the resulting wine, is going to be aser b'shtiyah and aser b'hana. So Rabbi Nassim takes the most machmir position that one can take regarding magas over kochavim. So the Gemara says, so maybe what Shmuel was looking was for corroboration. Is the halacha going to be like Rabbi Nassim? And is anyone know a b'raisa that supports this position, Rabbi Nassim? The Tanya and the Gemara says, and we have the following b'raisa, madadu, ben b'yad, ben b'regel, yimaker, that if you have wine that was measured with one's hand or with one's foot, meaning, if a non-Jew measured the wine using his hand or foot. Okay. In other words, and so here you have contact between the guy and the Jew's wine. And the contact over here clearly was not for the purposes of libation. It was not nisuch. He was just measuring it. But still, in other words, in the process of measuring it, he came into contact with his hand. So according to the Tanakhama of this Brisa, Yimaker, you can't drink it, but you can sell it. Meaning you can get benefit from it. It's mutar bana, but you can't drink it. That's the Tanakama. And Rabbi Nassim Omer biyad aser b'regel mutar. And Rabbi Nassim's of the opinion that if it's touched with the hand of the guy, so it's aser. And aser over here means aser both b'shtiyah v'ana. Because this is Rabbi Nassim, this is a b'raisa. This is Rabbi Nassim who's of the opinion that even incidental contact by a guy, and I say incidental, I mean, he knows he's touching it. But we know it's not for the purpose of Nisuch. But if he touches it with his hand, so according to Rabbi Nassim, that's part of the Gzeira de Rabbanan, Aser B'shtiyah Uvehana'a. That's the Braisa. So Abiyad Oser B'regel Mutar. And if he touches it with his foot, it's going to be Mutar, because it's only a foot, it's not a hand. Now, so what Shmuel was doing in terms of reserving his Psak is that he wanted to see if there's anyone that corroborates with the opinion of Rabbi Nassim. But as the Gemara points out, and you probably already figured this out already, Amadama Rabbi Nassim Biyad Beregel Miyamar. Wait 1 second. Even Rabbi Nassim, who's taking the most strict position on this matter, he only takes a strict position if the contact was done with the hand, not with a foot. If you go back to the incident, you'll see that how did the guy touch it? The guy touched it with his foot, not with his hand. So the Gemara says, so Shmuel wasn't waiting to hear whether or not the halacha falls like Rabbi Nassim, because even Rabbi Nassim was only talking about contact with one's hand. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, you're right. What Shmuel was doing when he was reserving his answer is because he wanted to see if anyone holds like Rabbi Shimon. Now we're going to introduce ourselves to another opinion. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Although the truth of the matter is, we already saw two opinions. We also saw in the Braisa that we quoted, we also saw the Shita of the Chachamim, that if you had incidental contact by a non-Jew to the wine of a Jew, so it's aser b'shtiyah, but it's mutar b'hana. In other words, in the Braisa we just quoted, according to the Tanakhama, yimacher means you could sell it, meaning you can get hana from it. Okay, so really what we have now in front of us are two opinions. The Tanakhama, we'll call him the Chachamim, and Rabbi Nassim, who takes a very machmer position. And then there's a third opinion on the matter, which now the Gemara is telling us, which is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Ashrei Afilu B'Shtiyah. Rabbi Shimon says that if you have incidental contact done by a goy to the wine of a Jew, it is mutter across the board. Mutter behana umutter b'shtiyah, you're even allowed to drink it. And so what Shmuel was waiting to hear from is, maybe there's somebody who corroborates the position of Rabbi Shimon, and if so, I'm going to say then that the wine is not only mutter b'shtiyah, not only mutter behana, it's also mutter b'shtiyah as well.
So, correct.
In other words, if for whatever reason he was going to go like the Chachamim and make more sense, and he wouldn't be waiting three yantavs to pass like the Chachamim. Meaning, in other words, what the Gemara is assuming is that he was going to go to one extreme. Right, either the extreme of Rabbi Nassan or the extreme of Rabbi Shimon.
Sometimes you have a hefsed.
Okay.
You go to Kula.
Right, it's a right. It's another consideration. Okay. So that's where we're at. So what we have right now really is the beginning of the Gemara's discussion regarding Maga. In other words, when you have a non-Jew touching the wine of a Jew, so now what is the result of that contact? So first and foremost, we just learned that the contact has to be done with one's hand, not with another body part. And then if we know that the contact was not done for the purpose of Nisach, we know it. And it's what we're going to call from this point going forward, incidental contact. So what is the result of that wine? So there are three opinions on the matter. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nassan, and the Chachamim. Rabbi Nassan takes a more machmer position, aser b'shtiyah uva'ana. Rabbi Shimon takes the most makel position, muta b'shtiyah uva'ana. And the Chachamim are in the middle. Aser b'shtiyah muta b'ana. Okay, next. And by the end of today, we're going to have a little more clarity in terms of where we're headed in terms of the Pesach. Ha'uv de dava b'birim, the Gemara tells another incident that occurred in the town of Biram. So there was a non-Jew that was climbing up a palm tree. And he had a lulav in his hand. The kanachis, and as he was descending, right, so in other words, he must have climbed the tree, cut the branch, and now while coming down and with the branch in his hand, so the kanachis naga b'rosha du lavi b'chamer shalom b'kavana. So what he did is he touched the wine with the tip of the palm tree. In other words, somehow with the tip of the palm branch. So with the palm branch in his hand, so now as he was descending, so unintentionally, the tip of the palm branch now comes into contact with wine. So this is maga, but the way the Gemara has it, the way we have the gears on the Gemara, it's really, not only is it incidental contact, he's not even touching it with his hand. He's touching it with a palm branch that he's holding in his hand. So we're like really far away. In other words, both in terms of intent, in terms of the actual contact itself. That's the girsa that we have in the Gemara. Rashi seemingly has that girsa. Okay. You don't really know from Rashi. But there is a lengthy discussion in Tosfos over here. That the way that I just presented the story is the way most of the Girsas have it. If you take a look at the first wide line in Tosfos, right under the Gemara, under the print of the Gemara, Hachi Garsin Berovas Farim Behadit Dekanachis Naga Bereishit Dudelave Becham Shlo Bekavana. So the way that I just read the Gemara is the way that it's found in most Nuschaos of the Gemara. Tosfos, however, points out you go drop, take a large drop towards the bottom of the Tosfos, about six lines from the bottom. V'chein nimsa b'tshuva zegarim delogaris bereishit du lave ela naga b'chamra. However, he points out that there are gaonim who say that no. The issue over here is that not that when the guy descended from the palm branch, he touched it with the palm in his hand, but rather he touched it with his hand itself. Olahach yasa le'rab b'shia dahavle mago v'kocham b'gufa shalom b'kavana. Okay, and basically a question in terms of when the contact was not done with the actual hand of the non-Jew, but it was done with something in the hand of the non-Jew, is that also considered contact? So again, our Gemara would seem to indicate yes. Tosos deliberates that point. But anyway, let's go back to our Gemara. Sharia Rav Lizvunilov Kilchav. So Rav said, okay, it would be permitted to sell it to a non-Jew. In other words, Rav is taking the position of it's mutabana. Not allowed to drink it, but it's mutabana, you're allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. So Amalei Rav Kanav Rav Asila Rav Hamar Hudam Martinuk Ben Yom Uosa Osi Yai Nesach. So the students of Rav, both Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, turn to Rav and they say, I don't understand. You're the one who said that if you have a Tinuk Ben Yom, Tinuk Ben Yom means a child. Now, obviously it's going to the most extreme version of a child, meaning we're talking about an infant, a one-day-old infant. But if you have a non-Jewish child, that Osi Yai Nesach, if he touches the wine now becomes Yai Nesach. Now, clearly there's no intent. In other words, that's the Gemara's point when saying a day old. Meaning that you have a really young child, and I know we already introduced ourselves in the beginning of Shir today to a six-year-old who's covered Masechta Avodah Zarah, but that's not the point. Over here, you have a really young non-Jewish child, and he clearly does not have Kavana, and he touches the wine, so the students say to Rav, we know that you said it's Yayin Nesach. So Amalahu, so Rav says to his students, okay, good, we have a time to clarify. Yeah, you're right. I said Yai Nesach. What I meant was, it's Aser B'Shtiyah. You're not allowed to drink it. But I didn't say it's Aser B'Anah. meaning it's mutter b'ana. In other words, contact that was done without kavana, without intent to make, to create nesach, yai nesach, yes, it results in an isser, but the isser is only an isser b'shtia, it's not an isser b'ana. Okay, so in other words, of the three opinions that we introduced ourselves to at the top of the Amud, Rav is signing with that middle position. The middle position of Aser Bahana, but, I'm sorry, Aser Bishtiya, but Mutar Bahana. Okay, Gufa. Where are we right now in the Gemara? So, a discussion of Magas over Kochavim, when the non-Jew touches it, and he touches it Shalom B'Kavana, and he touches it without intent. So where do we stand right now in terms of the Tanayim? Three opinions, we already covered. In terms of the Amorayim, Shmuel's position, not totally clear. In other words, the question was asked to him, and he waited three regalim, and it seems like so far that Shmuel wanted to be Mekel and take the position of Rabbi Shimon, that's Mutter in Boshtia and Hana. Rav's position, clearly taking the Chachamim's viewpoint, that Magas over the Kochavim, when the non-Jew touches it, Afilu Shlob B'Kavan, even if it's no intent, it's going to be Aser Bishtia, but Mutter Ba'ana.
Okay. Let's say a hypothetical, a Jew is holding a palm branch and touches a dead person because of it.
That's it. Well, first of all, there are two different issues, meaning the
trick. Is that touching, in other words?
No, that's not contact. Contact has to be with your hand. But again, there's the two different issues in terms of, we're talking about the Gzera de Rabbanan of Yai Nesach in the transmission of Tumah. One doesn't necessarily impact the other. Goof of the Gemara goes back, Amar Rav Tirek ben Yomos, the Yai Nesach. So the statement of Rav, which as now we clarified, doesn't mean that when a non-Jewish child touches wine, it becomes Mamash Yai Nesach. No, it just simply means that it's Aser B'Shtia. But anyway, the Gemara goes back. The Gemara revisited it. Eitzvei Rav Shimi Bar Chiya L'Rav. So a question asked to Rav based on a Tosefta. The Tosefta here in Avodah Zarah says, Alokech Avadim En Ovdi Kochavim. Shemala V'lo Tavlam. So if you buy yourself an Eved Kenani. So let's review. Right? We talk about Eved Kenani. So okay, let's go back to what we've learned already a number of times. So when you buy an Eved Kenani, so that means, of course, that you're buying somebody, in other words, it's a slave, and an Eved Kenani is chattel's property. So in other words, you're buying his goof, you're buying his body. And we know that when you buy the Eved Kenani, so once he agrees to the purchase, I know it's always a constant discussion that we have whether or not he has a say in the matter. Because if he doesn't have a say in the matter, effectively what you're doing is you're forcing a conversion. But, okay, and I know that always becomes a sticking point, but still. In other words, when you buy the Eved Kenani, so he's going to go through the process of Milo Tvila. In other words, he'll get a bris Milo, he'll tovel in the mikvah, and he becomes a quasi-Jew. In other words, he's chayiv in the mitzvahs in the Torah. He is bound by all the negative prohibitions. He is bound by the mitzvahs that say the positive commandments that are not time bound. In other words, he has the same level of obligation of that of an isha. And on top of that, also, in other words, if it's a male Eved Kenani, he also requires a bris milah. So, in other words, but at the same time, however, he's not a full fledged Jew. In other words, in terms of marriage, he cannot marry a Jew. A Jew is not allowed to marry him. That would be an isser. But in other words, in terms of marriage, you would stay within another Eved or a Shifcha Kenanis. But still, in other words, so now Alokech Avadim and Ovdi Kochavim. So you're buying now an Eved Kenani. So now, when he goes through the process of Mila Tzvila, so for all intents and purposes, now he's a Jew. I understand with the restrictions in terms of Chasnos, but he's a Jew. Clearly, one can imagine that he's allowed to touch wine. Allowed to touch wine, and the wine that he touches is not going to be Aser B'Shtia Uve'ana. In fact, it'll be Mutter. Fine. That part's clear. What we're discussing now in the Braisa is where you buy the Eved, you buy an Eved Kenani, and Malu V'lo Tavla went through not both parts of the conversion, only one part of the conversion. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Yavamos. So, La'olam eino ger, ashimo v'yitbo. In other words, for full conversion to occur, you need both processes. You need both the Mila and the Tvila. So right now, he's on his way, and he clearly is headed in the direction of becoming a Ger. And again, Ger in this context means an Eved Kenani, but in this discussion, it is the same point. So still, the halach is, is that because he only went through Mila and he hasn't gone through Tefillah yet, he's not yet a Jew. V'chein, and similarly, b'nei ha-shvachos shemalo v'lo tavlu, let's say you have b'nei ha-shvachos. So in other words, you have a child of the shvachos. So in other words, you have somebody who was born in a Jewish home and did not grow up amongst the other kochavim. Still, you require Mila Tefillah. And Rashi points out over here, we're talking about where the mother has not yet undergone a tefillah. If mom has undergone a tefillah, so then, by virtue of the fact that the child was born to a mother who converted, the child already is a convert. So the B'nai HaShvachos discussion of the Brice over here is talking about where, for whatever reason, mom hasn't undergone a tefillah yet, has a child, that child also needs Mila Tefillah. What is the benefit, so to say, of the B'nai HaShvachos over that of a regular Eved Kenani? In other words, family, meaning grew up in a house devoid of Avodah Zarah. So in culturally speaking, he's got like a small advantage over an Eved Kenani that you buy from an Oved Kochavim. In either event, B'nei HaShvachos Shemalo V'lo Tavlu, so V'chein, it's the same halacha, meaning not a Jew until going through both Mila and Tefillah. Now, Rokan U'Medrasan. Now what about Rokan Medras? We know that there is a general gzera de Rabbanan that anyone who is not Jewish is going to be a zav, tumah zav. Now, the tumah zav is a din de Rabbanan. In other words, again, to create more separation, distance between the Jew and the non-Jew. So the Chachamim slapped a tumah de Rabbanan on the non-Jewish population, and they're going to be a tumah zav. So we know with that regarding a zav, the halacha would be that a zav min haTorah, so the discharge that comes out of the zav, the spit that comes out of his mouth, and medras, anything they sit on, is going to be tameh. On a rabbinic level, so you have a goy, so the spit that comes out of the mouth, anything they sit on is going to be tameh midrabanan. So if I have rokan u'medras, and if I have the rokan and the medras of the people we just described, the people we just described who are on the path to becoming a ger. So in the shuk, in the marketplace, tameh, v'amri latar, so there are two opinions in the brisa. One opinion is that the spit and the medrash is going to be tamei, and the other opinion is going to be tahor, and I will explain those opinions a little bit better in just a moment. Yeinam gedolim osim yayin nesach, ketanim ein osim yayin nesach. So, what about the wine that they come into contact with? Again, we're discussing these people who are on their way to conversion, clearly on their way to conversion, but still haven't made it there yet. Wine they touch, if they're adults, the wine they touch is going to be yayin nesach. And if they're minors, the wine they touch is not going to be yayin nesach. Ve'elo en gedolim, ve'elo en ketanim. The brisa continues, giving clear delineation of what's a gadol, what's a katan. Gedolim yodim b'tiv avodas kochavim mishamshah. Ketanim einan yodim b'tiv avodas kochavim mishamshah. And over here, gadol katan just simply knows, do they know about avodah zarah? Do they understand avodah zarah? Or do they not know about avodah zarah? Okay. Ad kan divrei ha-brisa. Ketanim mihas. In the brisa, what was stated very clearly is gedolim min ketanim lo. That if you have a gadol who's touching wine, the wine is going to be yayin nesach. If you have a katan touching wine, the wine is going to be nothing. Nothing. Meaning, seemingly, perfectly mutter. Now, this obviously is difficult for Rav. Rav says that if you have a tinek b'yomo, o se yayin nesach. And even as we explain it, we clarified Rav's position. Yayin nesach, not full yayin nesach. You're allowed to get benefit from it, but it's still Aster B'Shia. You're not allowed to drink it. In this brisa that we just quoted, now granted the brisa over here was a slightly subtle point, because it was talking about somebody was on the path to becoming a Jew, but still, in other words, not yet a Jew, and the brisa states very clearly that if it's a katan touching wine, mutter. That's what the brisa says. It certainly has no kavana. And this serves as a difficulty for Rav. So Tirgama Abnei Shvachos. So the Gemara says, well, Rav will tell you that when the Braisa was making this point about the contact, the Braisa was only talking about the Bnei Shvachos. The Braisa was not talking about a guy. Meaning the Braisa was talking about the super limited discussion of when you have an Eved being born into your household, the mother has not yet undergone the conversion for whatever reason. Under those very limited circumstances, then and only then, when that child makes contact with the wine is not yayin nesach. And the Gemara says, then that's really difficult because of ha-v'chein kamar. I don't understand. The Braisa said the word v'chein, meaning the Braisa made a clear equivalency between the Eved Kenani that you bought from the Ovi Kochavim versus the Eved Kenani that's born in your own home. So the Gemara says, Arokin and Medrasan. So the Gemara says, no, the Vechen is going on Roken Medras. Meaning we're talking about the discharges that are coming out of their mouth, and we're talking about that which they sit on. The Tumma de Rabbanan. Hanich Laman Damar Tamei. The Gemara says, okay, but remember, on the point of Roken Medras, there were two Girsos of the Brisa. One Girsos of the Brisa is Tamei. If the point is Tamei, I get it. Meaning regarding Tumas Medras, Tumas Rok, regarding the Gzera de Rabbanan of Medras, that is slapped on the Ovi Kochavim, I get it. In other words, just like when you're buying an Eved Kenani, prior to his conversion, he's still Tamei, Tumma de Rabbanan. So too, when you have a child born in your household, Tamei. I get that. But Elaman Damar Tahor Michael Amemar. So the Gemara says, but if you take the position of Tahor, so how do you explain that? Now, I didn't explain this, but let's take a moment now to explain. What is that Girsa of Tahor? Meaning, we're talking about now, children, either an Eved Kenani that you bought from a guy who is on the path to becoming a convert, but not there yet, or we're talking about the Bnei HaShvachos. The Braisa says, well, you know, the spit coming out of the mouth and anything they sin are going to be Tahor. Meaning, according to one gear, it's Tahor. Why Tahor? Meaning, they're not yet Jewish. So what happened? So Rashi, not on this side of the page, but on the next side, on the Amud Beis. So Rashi says that if you're going to go with the Girsa of Tahor, it's because because we're talking about really something which is unusual. Meaning, there is a Gzera de Rabbanan of Tumas Medras, or Tumas Zav on Goyim, but only on something which is Shchiach. When you buy the Eved Kenani, and when he has now gone through the first stage of the conversion process, at this point it's Milsadol Shchicha, and therefore, there's no longer a Gzera de Rabbanan. That's how Rashi explains it. Now let's go back to Argamar's point. If you're going to subscribe to the Girsa of Tahor, so then what is the Vechein? What's the equivalency now? My Tahor Michael Amemer. Hakamash Malan, Avadim Domi de Bnei Shvachos. My Bnei Shvachos, Malavelo Tavlo, Hu Dosin Yain Esach, Malavelo Tavlo, Lo, Af Avadim Kain. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what the Vechein is coming to teach us. It's coming to create an equivalency of the Eved to the Bnei Shvachos. Just like with the Bnei Shvachos, Malo Velo Tavlu, that if you do the Mila, but you don't do the Tefillah, Hu Dosin Yayin Esech, that creates Yayin Esech. So Malo Velo Tavlu, Lo, and once they go through the full conversion, it doesn't create Yayin Esech. Av Avadim Kain, the same thing is going to be true with an Eved. That once you go through the full conversion, does not create Yayin Esech. Okay. So, we quote a Braisa, but nevertheless, we defend Rav's position. So again, Rav says that if there is contact done, Shelo Bekavana, of a non-Jew to the wine that's owned by a Jew, it's aser b'shtia, but mutter b'hana. Lafuke min derav Nachman amar Shmuel. So the Gemara says, and this is not in agreement with the opinion of Rav Nachman amar Shmuel. Damar Rav Nachman amar Shmuel kechavad min avde kochavim. Afa pisha malav v'tavlo osin yayin esach ashitishka avos kochavim mipiem. So kamash malan delo. Now the Gemara says that according to Rav Nachman amar Shmuel, that if you buy for yourself an Eved Kenani from a guy, so even after conversion, still they're going to produce the Ayin Esach with their contact until they basically have no longer any relationship with Avodah Zarah. Now, in a moment, we're going to learn together. It's going to be a year. Well, let's just continue the Gemara. Gemara says it right now. Gufa Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Okeh Chavadim Min Aovdi Kochav Maaf Apisha Malav V'Tavlu Osin Yain Esach Hashitishka Avodas Kochav Min Piyam V'Kama Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Hashem Asar Chodesh. So Rav Yeshua Ben Levi says it's going to be a year. Only a year later, where they're totally now, lost contact. No longer assumed the culture of Avodah Zarah, then and only then, the wine they touch is not going to be Yayin Esach. Eisve Rabba L'Rav Nachman, so now, here we go now with the challenge to Rav Nachman from this embrace that we just learned. So we're going to basically go through the same thing that we just went through. The Tosefta clearly is going to present a problem. Because, Elkech Avodim and Avodikacham Shemal Avolo Tavlo V'chein. B'nei Ashvach Shemal Avolo Tavlo Rokim Adrasan. So the Braisa now first deals with the Roken, the Medras of the Eved Kenani that you bought on the path to conversion, not fully there yet. So, what about Tumas Medrus? What about the spit? So, Tamei V'Amalei Tar. So again, the Brice has two opinions, as we already covered. Yeinam, Gedolim Osim Yainesach, Ketanim Osim Yainesach. Now, wine that they touch, if they're an adult, Yainesach. If they're a minor, not Yainesach. Eilon Gedolim V'Eilon Ketanim. What's the difference between a gadol and a katan? Gadolim sheyodim b'tiv avodas kochavim meshamsha, ketanim shein yodim b'tiv avodas kochavim meshamsha. Okay, I can't differ. Braisa, that's the second time in today's short daf that we went over the same braisa. What's clear from the braisa? The Gemara makes a diuk. It's a really simple diuk. Ketanim yes malav lo tavlu in malav tavlu lo. The braisa over here is clearly drawing a very clear line in the sand. When is it that their contact is going to create a problem? Only when they're on the path to conversion. They did the Mila, but they haven't yet done the Tvila. If they have finished conversion, where they've done both Mila and Tvila, so at that point in time, now they're a full-fledged Jew, you don't need a year now to remove the habits of Avodah Zarah from them. Just the simple act of conversion by itself is now going to take away the Yai Nesach status from them. Right, even if you didn't wait a year. So Tirgamav Neshvacho, so the Gemara says, okay, and what we're going to say over here is no. As far as the Yain Nesach is concerned, that's limited to the very unusual case of Bnei Shvachos. Again, Bnei Shvachos is where your Shifcha Kananis gave birth to a child while she was under your ownership. For whatever reason, she hasn't gone through the full conversion yet, but still the child now is born in a Jewish home. Then and only then do we say that his incidental contact is not going to produce Yain Nesach. Havachen Ketani, again, that's not the simple reading of the Braisa, because the Braisa creates an equivalency. The Braisa says the words Vachen. Arokanu Madrasan. So that, again, the Gemara deflects. The Gemara says, no, that's talking only about the Tumah de Rabbanan. Hanich Laman Damar Tamei, El Laman Damar Tar Maikel Meimar. If the Girsa that you have is Tamei, that's very good. If the Girsa you have is Tahor, I don't understand. So the Gemara says, no, but the Bryce's point is that only a gadol is going to create Yai Nesach, but a katan is not going to be creating Yai Nesach. By an Eved, a gadol is going to create Yain Nesach, not a katan, and la'afuke midirav. And this excludes ourselves from the position of Rav, da'amar Rav, tinek ben yama osa Yain Nesach, kamash malan delo. And so with the Gemara, and the Gemara points out that the way Shmuel will understand the Braisa is that this excludes from the position of Rav, because Rav says that when you have a tinek ben yama, in other words, incidental contact that was done by a child, according to Rav, that will create Yain Nesach, and Shmuel's telling us that the Brice is teaching us that it will not create Yain Nesach. Okay. And as far as the Gemara is concerned, we're going to stop at this point in time. But I'll just end off the daf today with a really interesting discussion. That's found in the Baam Tosfos over here, right? See, the Baam Tosfos is a really long one. So, what if you have? Before we go to the Tosfos, just in terms of a conclusion of today's daf, what if you have contact made by a non-Jew and it's incidental, meaning there was clearly no intent by the part of the non-Jew, and let's make it super clear, meaning let's say the non-Jew was a minor, right, a child. So you have an incidental contact that was made by a non-Jew on our wine. Maga avodas kochavim shelo bekavana. So what would be the conclusion after today's daf? So the conclusion would be after today's daf is that it's a machlokas. Meaning we have really two opinions in the Gemara. We have the opinion of Rav and we have the opinion of Shmuel. Rav takes the position that Tinek Bayamo can create Yain Nesach. Although, as we clarified a little bit earlier today, it could be that it's only Aser B'Shtia, but it's not Aser B'Hana. But, in other words, Rav says it produces an Iser. Shmuel, on the other hand, is more Mekel. Shmuel, on the other hand, says that if you have a Katan, a Katan's incidental contact of wine, when the wine is owned by a Jew, is not considered, it does not create Yain Nesach. Okay. And with that...
Right. Rav.
Holds like the Rabbonin, and then it's the Rabbonin says Bamudad, then Vayad, it's not, it doesn't make it, it's Mudad.
Right, well, actually, in other words, it would seem like he's going like Rabbi Shimon, meaning because Shmuel says it's really nothing, meaning it would be Mutter B'Shtia and Hana. Okay, so now you have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, so which way do we go? If you take a look at the Baam Tosfos Nun Zayin Amud Beis, La'afukim et Rav D'Amrei Tinak Ben Yama, Hashta Chazin D'Lahai Lishna D'Amrei, La'tar Shmuel Leislei D'Rav, the Amar Tinek Ben Yama v'chulei imkein lo asya hamastisa kavasei ela isle shmol de Tinek Ben Yama eno yosi yainesach umuter af b'shtia v'uadim ketanim she'en yodim b'tiv avodas kochavim u'ben yama labdavka v'avadim gedolim af apishom ala v'tuv lo tzirichim lahamtin yud beiz chodesh lashkia shem avodas kochavim epiyam. Okay, now, Tosfos just first clarify Shmuel's position. If it's a minor, now minor here just simply means unfamiliar with the avodah zarah. So then, his incidental contact with the wine is not going to create Yai Nesach. And according to Shmuel, Mutter. Mutter both Bashir uvehana. And then once you get to an adult, so granted, Shmuel's going to be a little bit more machmer. Meaning that for an adult who converts, so then you still need a 12-month period. Now, from the Gemara, it sounds like it's only referring to a Neve Kanani, meaning, but if it's a full conversion, not in the context of a Neve Kanani, sounds like you don't need the 12-month period, but in any event, that is the opinion of Shmuel. Now, Rav, we know, disagrees. Rav says that a minor who incidentally comes into contact with the wine makes it into Yai Nesach again. Is that just Asa B'Shtia? Is that Asa B'Shtia Uvahana? Okay, but we know Rav is more Machmer. Upasko Alachos Gedolos Deloka Rav, B'Tinat B'Yom, Over Rabbi Chanan Onami, Pasuk Shmuel, De'Be'ina Shikua, Kedemafarsh, Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Lamilsa. So, okay, and Tosfos quotes the Halachas Gedolos and the Rabbeinu Chananel, who paskan like Shmuel. Now, why is all this important? I mean, in addition to, it's good to know who we file like. Upamachas matzari kasa betosos halamdim lefnei Rabbeinu Tam shepasku the Halachas Kishmuel hol v'savar Yeshua ben Levi kavasei. V'halachir Rav Yeshua ben Levi l'gabi Rav Yochanan. So, they're learning Tosfos in front of Rabbeinu Tam, which in of itself is just like a great... It's like a great scene. Meaning, when they say they're learning Tosfos, meaning they're going over shitas of the Baalei HaTosfos in front of Rabbeinu Tam. Now, Rabbeinu Tam is an old, in other words, he's one of the originals. Meaning, he's a grandson to Rashi. He's an early member of the family, and they're learning in front of Rabbeinu Tam, and they're saying, you know, the halacha falls like Shmuel. So, v'koshken legabe Rav Shmuel, she'in halacha kamosam legabe Rav Yochanan. V'gam b'seder tanaim v'amarim, k'sivas yada Rav Agadol, Rav Yosef Tov Eilem, posek halacha kamosa b'chol mokum. V'gam Rabbeinu Tam v'yar b'rayos azeh. V'kulam nidchum. So a number of rayos were brought. V'od pasuk Rabbeinu Tam, k'lishon da'amar, rokon ha'medron sam v'shuk tar, d'bishal sofer malacha ha'chameko, ulefi osan aloshan polik shmol adarav b'tinuk b'yomam. Okay. So Rabbeinu Tam also wanted to be mako like Shmuel. And again, all this brings us to now the following point. V'od pirshu Rashbam v'rivam v'shem Rashi, shekasa v'tshuva zagonim, ki bezman hazeh in iser hana, b'maga ove kochavim b'yayin, ki ovde kochavim shal achshav, in regilam lanasech la'avodas kochavim, v'chashuvim ke'in yodim b'tiv avodas kochavim u'mesham shah. So here is now where it gets interesting. Where Tosfos now makes the following leap. Up until now, we've been making the distinction between a child and an adult. A child's context is incidental, and if we pass like Shmuel, it's going to be Mutter. Mutter b'shtia, Mutter b'ana. Tosfos now says, I think that we can make an argument that our adult goyim are like children in that they don't know about Nisach Yayin, and so therefore their contact should be viewed as incidental contact. And therefore now, even though you have the guy touching the wine, it shouldn't be Aser b'ana. V'havalu kitinuk ben yamo. And now Tosfos says, so now we're talking about collection of debt. Okay, so right back in the day, right, in medieval France and Germany, so the business du jour at the time was money lending. And money lending obviously requires collection. and collection. So what can you collect in terms of your chov, in terms of your obligation? So it was very prominent that what they would collect would be wine. Not to drink, but just simply as collection of the debt. Then they would turn around, they would sell it, and that's how they would collect their debt. Now let's consider, if the wine is really Yai Nesach, in other words, if it's standard Yai Nesach, so then you can't get benefit from it. So then collecting that wine for your debt would be considered a no-no. You wouldn't be allowed to do it. And yet, it was predominant. And what Tosfos now is doing is he's constructing an argument. Well, we had a machlokas in our Gemara, in our daf today between Rav and Shmuel, and the halacha falls like Shmuel, and we're going to have to make one leap, right, one jump. And we're going to consider the Ovdi Kochavim in our day like a Tinuk Ben Yomo. So that even though we know that they're making contact with the wine, that part's clear, but the wine's not going to be Asar Bahana. Therefore, we'd be allowed to use that wine as collection for a debt. V'aldav is eshalach lo rila Rabbi Natam. So, hachazi diminach me'avucha me'achucha mishtari mago v'kocham v'yayin la'ama afilu b'shtia. And the truth of the matter is that if you're really following this discussion, so actually Shmuel was more than just Mekel. Shmuel across the board allowed incidental contact by a tinok. Shmuel allowed it not only by Hanau, but Shia as well. And what you're saying now is that really, if you're following this logic ladder, so really what you're doing is you're allowing not only the Hanau, but the Shia as well. Da'achicha Rabbi Shmuel pasak b'shem avucha Rabbi Nishlamo da'avdi kocham v'zman hazeh eino chashuvim ela kitinok ben yomo. Ve'ata posak b'tinok ben yomo k'shmuel. Dislei deino osa yayin nesach lasar afilo b'shtia. And so, if we're going to go down this path, you're telling me now that it should be Mutar B'Shtiyah as well. And that already now is a tremendous Kiddush. Okay, I know it's an awkward place to stop, but you see now where it's a really interesting discussion in terms of where we go with the Pesach in terms of the Gemara today, and then a discussion amongst the B'nai HaTosfos. It really, you read on it, by the way, in the Tosfos. It's really a heated discussion. A heated discussion whether or not we could take the Pesach of the Gemara today and thereby using it as an application to allow at least for the collection. And the discussion can even go further than that. But at least for the discussion of the collection of wine as a way of collecting the debt. Right, that's what I'm saying. Read on in Tosfos. Meaning Tosfos doesn't end in that conclusion, but at least you see where he's heading in this discussion.